pretty quiet. Not much energy this morning, is there? Huh? Don't look like it. That's a praise the Lord. Guys, have a good week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord this morning? I say, do you love the Lord this morning? You know how much He loves you? I'm learning. I don't know yet. I really don't know how much He loves me. But I'm learning. Yeah. You see the bulletin this morning, the sermon title is a question. Question. I have a question. Jesus has a question for you today. And this sermon's going to be a little different. I got about 25 minutes of sleep last night. I'm doing pretty good today. Doing really well, actually. I didn't mess up singing. That's a good thing. Hopefully I'll be able to stay awake for the preaching. Hopefully. Praise the Lord. So it's just been an interesting time. So let's go, Lord, because we're going to need all the help we can get this morning. Father, we humble come before. We just come before you this morning, Father. We praise you for who you are. We need to realize, Father, that you love us in a way that no one else ever could. We praise you for that, Father. We just ask, Father, your presence would be with us this morning. Your Holy Spirit would lead and guide. And Father, we would just have a better understanding of you. And we can apply you to our lives. And we can love you more. Father, we're asking this in your name. We're asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power that He gives us through the Holy Spirit. We're asking Him to be here and just work in His mighty power this morning. Father, we thank you. Father, we love you. Father, we praise you. Be with me this morning. Give me the words to speak. This is all you. Father, we praise you and we love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Question. Jesus has a question. I'm going to get to a big question, but we just come through communion, and it represents the Lord Jesus Christ, right? His body and His blood, right? And First John, we're going to go to John chapter 1. We're going to start there. I'm going to mix up the verses a little bit on you, Alan. Sorry about that. You're young. You're sharp. You'll be able to handle it, right, brother? Doing a good job up there, by the way, brother. Appreciate it. Yep. John chapter 1, there's some stuff that I want you to see. I guess the question I'm going to ask at the end of this is going to be a question we all have to answer. You can't get out of this question. This is a question we all have to answer. Okay? So in John 1, it says, in verse 1, it says, in the beginning, before all time, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. In the Greek, where this is written, God comes first, so it actually says He was God Himself. In the beginning, when creation started, when God the Father said, let there be light, who was there? Jesus was there, wasn't he? Yeah. He was there the whole time. He said the Word was there. In verse 2 it says He was present originally with God. That's what Amplified says. All things were made and came into existence through Him. Without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being. He created it all. Isn't that cool? And what's even cooler is He created you just exactly the way you are. Isn't that cool? Did you ever ask God, why did you make me like this? I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. Did you ever ask God that? I told my daughter-in-law told me, she said, look like you're losing weight. I said, well, not really. I'm not trying to. She said, be careful of that. She said, because my daughter-in-law told me this, so don't take this wrong. She said, you know you're getting too fat when God shows up immediately when you pray when He says two or three are gathered. Isn't that terrible? That's terrible. That's terrible. She said, be careful. She meant it in a nice way. You know what I mean to me? She's like, okay, that's cool. So nothing that was made without His being involved in it. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Cool. And the light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. Never. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. Verse 7, this man came to witness that he might testify of the light, that all men might believe in him through it. He was not the light himself, but came that he might bear witness regarding the light. There it was, the true light coming into the world that illuminates every person. Jesus. Verse 10, he came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not know or recognize him. He came to that which belonged to him. They who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. But to as many as did receive and welcome him, he gave the privilege, the authority, the right to become the children of God. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he gives you the authority, the power to be a child of the Almighty God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that good to know? Emily, this morning, do you feel worthy of God's love every day? All day long? No, we don't, do we? Because we look in that mirror. Look in that mirror and we say, boy, I know exactly who I am. I know exactly who I am. You know what's even awesomer than that? God knows exactly who you are. Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool, isn't it? So where are we going with this, Matt? Where are you taking us? Let's go to John chapter 6. We're going to stay in the book of John for the most part. Going to make it easy on you today. For the most part. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was present at the creation of the world. That's pretty impressive. Okay. We know that he was born. He came to live on this earth in a body of flesh just like mine, just like yours. He was tempted. He was tested. He was ridiculed. He was made fun of. Just like you and I. A lot of things. So he could know just exactly how you felt. Isn't that something? We have a Savior who came to earth to live as you and I, to suffer all the stuff, the heat, the cold, the rain, the snow, all the stuff, because he wanted to know what you felt like. That's pretty neat, isn't it? He wanted to know just exactly how it felt. Ow. That hurt. He wanted to know. He wanted to know what it felt like. You know, when you go, this thing hurts, Father. He goes, I know. I know what that feels like. We have an intercessor. We have a high priest who knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly who you are. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. John chapter 6. There's a lot of stuff going on here in John chapter 6. You ever hear about the miracle of Christ feeding 5,000 people with a couple little things, a little kid head? This happens. The very first part of John chapter 6 happens. So then he sends the disciples away, and then what's he do? He just goes for a stroll on a stormy sea. He just fed 5,000 people. And that 5,000 is probably just men. That doesn't include men, women and children. It could have been 10 or 15 or 20,000. Then nobody knows. 5,000. Then he decides to go for a little walk on the sea. Isn't that cool? You ever think about walking on water? You ever think about that and think, how could you? You ever been in water before? I don't even float. I can't float on my back. I sink. I can't. I tried. I wonder. I'm like a rock. I'm like a rock. When I swim, I'm like a rock. I go to the bottom and run. What do I do? He just said, I'm just going to go for a walk on the water. Jesus decided to do that. Pretty cool, huh? There's a lot going on here. So he gets to the other side. And we're going to start. Let's start in verse 24. John chapter 6, verse 24. It says, so the people, finding that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there themselves, got into small boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. They're looking for him. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they said, Rabbi, how'd you get here, dude? There's no boats coming here. You fly? You walk on water? They said, how'd you get here? They didn't know. Verse 26 is an interesting thought process that I see. When I ask Jesus for something in my life, when I pray to him for something in my life or someone else's life, when you pray to him, he already knows your motive. He already knows your thought process. He already knows, why are you asking for that? He knows. Look at verse 25 here. It says, verse 26 says, Jesus answered them, I assure you, most solemnly, I tell you, you have been searching for me, not because you saw the miracles and the signs, but because you were fed with the loaves, were filled and sat. You didn't come looking for me. You wanted to get, you're hungry. You're eating again. That's what you want. You want to eat again. You wanted food, right? Verse 27 is an interesting thing. It says, stop toiling and doing and producing for the food that perishes and decomposes. In the using. But strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food which endures unto life eternal. The Son of Man will give you that, for God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement upon him. You getting this? The Lord Jesus Christ is bona fide. He is the Son of God. He's authorized. He has the power. He has the authority. He is God himself in the flesh. That's something. And he says, you didn't come looking for me because you wanted, you just wanted to eat again. It's always about food with us, isn't it? Sunday school, we're talking about ice cream at 9 o'clock in the morning. Who eats ice cream at 9 o'clock in the morning? If there was ice cream in there, we'd have all had some. We would have. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We'd have had ice cream. It's about food, right? This whole body thing. I'm getting hungry, right? We got to eat something, right? Because we're hungry. Christ says, don't pursue after that food that perishes, that goes away, that spoils, that rots. I want you to pursue something else. Let's go on here. Verse 28. They ask Jesus again, these crowds says, what are we to do that we may be working the works of God? That sounds like a pretty religious question, doesn't it? What do I do the works of God? Doesn't it sound like it? Almost sound like they're trying to make themselves sound better? Because he said, you guys didn't come look at me, you want to just eat. Well, we want to do your work, though. That's why we came. Really? What's Jesus say? This is the work. Listen to this. This is the work or service that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he sent. He says, this is the work you need to do. You don't go toiling and struggling and carrying and pushing and pulling and working. He says, I just need you to believe in me. Just believe in the one that was sent. So what are we going on? We're going to go on here, verse 30. They ask him again, what miracle, what sign, what wonderful thing are you going to do to perform so we may see it and believe and rely on you? What supernatural work have you to show what you can do? He just fed 5,000 people with what? Two loaves, a little fish? Nothing. I mean, nothing. He took a nothing and fed 5,000 people. That seemed like a miracle to me. I don't know about you, that seemed like a miracle to me. And then he goes from one side of the lake to the other, and they said a boat didn't take him, so how did he get over there? You know what I mean? It seemed like a miracle. Guy's there, and then he's there, and no way in between to get there. He just walked across the lake. Wow. They want a sign. They want to see a sign. Jesus is going to keep them on track with food. Here we go. This hurts. It says, our forefathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as the scripture says, he gave them bread out of heaven. So he says, well, they're going about the food thing. Remember the food? He just fed five. It says, yeah, but our forefathers, they ate manna. God actually gave them manna. You know what manna means? What is it? What is it? That's what it means. They didn't know what it was. Little seeds out there, and he went out and crushed them up and made. Some people believe that when they made things from that manna, if you were thinking about steak or ice cream, it tasted like that. I don't know. It's just a thought. I read that. I kind of thought that was pretty good. Manna was what you wanted it to be. You could taste it. You could eat it. You know what I'm saying? They said, well, our forefathers, they ate this manna. That was something that God supernatural. So we want you to give us manna. It's almost like they're saying, you know what? We want to have no question about getting food. Because you got to realize, they didn't have any Walmarts here. They didn't have any Myers. Didn't have Kroger. They didn't have a gas station you could stop by. I'm thirsty, swing in, grab something to drink, right? They didn't have any of that stuff. Nothing. They had to toil and work every day for what they were going to eat. They didn't have any place they could go buy canned goods and big had to keep all the stuff themselves, keep all the stuff. So food was a big thing. You think you spend a lot of time with food because you're hungry, right? That's what they're saying here. Verse 32. Jesus says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. Moses didn't give it to you. What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true heavenly bread. For the bread of God is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. This is going to get a little funny. Because when you read this, it sounds funny. It sounds a little odd. It says, you know, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I was sent from God, the Father. Come to earth. I am the bread of life. Cool. See where they go with this. So what do they say? They said, give us this bread always. Yeah, we can eat every day. Yeah. They're still looking for manna. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. And he who believes in and trusts in me, relies on me, will never thirst anymore. But as I told you, although he has seen me, still you did not believe and have faith in me. All whom my Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, no, never reject one of them who comes to me. Jesus is kind of going a different direction to these. They're talking about physical food, eating, being able to eat. He's saying, listen, guys, there's something more important than the food you eat. There's a thing that's more important than the food you eat. It gives you life. It gives you spiritual strength. This is something. I'm trying to get a hold of you. Here we go. Let's go on here. Verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will and purpose, but to do the will and purpose of him who sent me. Jesus says, I didn't come down to do what I wanted to do. I come down because we got a plan here. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should not lose any of all that he has given me, but that I should give new life and raise them up at the last day. For this is my Father's will and his purpose, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus is saying, listen, guys, if you believe in me, you know anybody that thinks that when you're dead, it's done? When I die, it's over. There's nothing else. I'm dead. Nothing after this life. Done. Everybody tell you that? A lot of people tell me that. Once you're dead, I'm going to have all the fun I'm going to have here, because when you're dead, you're dead. Sleeping and sleeping. Can I tell you, truthfully, that's not how it works? That's not how it works. There is a part of you that's going to live forever. A guy that I knew, I asked for prayer for his family in Sunday school this morning. He's a hard man. Very hard man. Unforgiving, hard man. And he went home. He didn't go home. He passed away. He told me before he died, I talked to him a little bit. He said, me and the Lord have an understanding. Wow. Wouldn't elaborate. They had an understanding. There's no understanding between you and God. You have to believe in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know who His Son was. You have to believe that He came and He died on that cross for our sins. He took the punishment that was mine, which was yours, which was ours, upon Himself. He carried it on that cross. He paid the price. That's it. That's it. It's that easy. You mean I just have to believe he was the Son of God? Yes, it's that easy. Yes. Why won't people believe it? Why won't not this man, and this hard man, this iron-fisted hard man, hard-hearted will not let the Lord in. Unfortunately, he knows the truth now. It's hard, isn't it? He knows the truth now. Verse 41 says, "Now the Jews murmured and found fault with and grumbled about Jesus because he said, 'I am myself the bread that came down from heaven.'" They keep asking, isn't this Joseph's son? They knew this. Didn't Joseph and his son of Mary? Isn't this guy? Jesus asked them, "Stop grumbling and saying these things against me to one another. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me attracts and draws him. And the desire to come to me, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Something has to draw you to Jesus. Is it his sparkling personality? You ever see a picture of Jesus? I've seen a lot of pictures. Nobody knows if it's him or not, right? I mean, he knows that. You heard the story about the little girl who was drawing a picture, and her teacher asked her, said, "Who are you drawing?" "I'm drawing a picture of Jesus." She said, "No one really knows what he looks like." She said, "They will when I'm done." Isn't that cool? Isn't that faith? I mean, they'll know what he looks like when I'm done. Isn't that cool? I thought that was pretty cool. So, let's keep going there. Verse 45, "It's written in the book of the prophet that they shall all be taught of God. Have him in person for their teacher." You ever think about that when you open your Bible and you start looking at it? I had a desk that I sit at. It's not a desk, it's a kitchen table. Because I don't have enough room on a desk for all my stuff, so I had to get a kitchen table, put all my junk on. Not junk, Bibles. I've got a chair that sits beside that desk. It's an empty chair. No one sits there. It's empty. Because I want the Holy Spirit to have a place to sit beside me to lead me when I'm looking at that book. Sounds kind of dumb, doesn't it? But it works for me. It works for me. Because I know when that chair is empty, that he's sitting there. When I'm looking through that stuff, and when I see things like, whoa. He's like, "That was it. That was it," right? So whatever works for you, that works for me. Because it says here that he's going to be your teacher. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Verse 46, "Which does not imply that anyone has seen the Father. No, not that anyone has ever seen him except he who is the Father, who comes from the Father. He alone has seen the Father." Jesus says, "You know what? You want to see him? I know the guy. I know the boy. I know him." I told you before, guys, "You're the man, Matt." "No, I'm not the man, but I know the man. I'm not the man, but I know the man." Jesus says, "Listen, guys, I've seen him. I've been in his presence. I know him." Verse 47, "I assure you, most solemnly tell you, he who believes in me, who adheres to, trusts him, relies on, and has faith in me, has now possesses eternal life." I'm the bread of life. Wow. Jesus does a lot of I ams in John. I think there's eight of them. Seven actual, pretty close. And one that says, "I am." He says, "Listen, guys, I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I'm the guy." They didn't believe him, did they? He says, "I'm the bread of life." This is going to get a little awkward. He says, "Your forefathers ate the man in the wilderness, and they died." They ate that spiritual bread, supposedly that manna that came from God, and they died. "But this is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone can eat of it and never die. I, myself, am this living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And also the bread that I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, this sounds kind of... Listen to what the Jews say here. They say, "How are you going to give us himself to eat?" Take a little nibble. No, it's not what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about eating himself. He's talking about he's going to allow his body, his flesh, to be crucified on that cross. He's going to give his life. He's going to give his body to be beaten, bruised, spit upon. Wow. You ever have anybody spit in your face? There's no better way to get punched right in the nose than spit in my face. No better way. The God of all creation, who spoke it into existence, took that. When I think of that, it sticks with me. It sticks with me. He took that. Someone spit in his face, and he did nothing. Said, I'm going to allow my body to be beaten for you. I'm going to take the sins of the entire world, your sin, on myself. I'm going to take it to that cross. I'm going to nail it on that cross right with me. I'm going to pay the price for it. My blood is going to cover your sins. And you are going to be free. You are going to be free to be a child of the Almighty God. You are going to be free to be a child of God. Isn't that something? You getting that? You're a child of God. And then he tells them, hey, you're going to have to eat my flesh and you're going to have to drink my blood. And they go totally ballistic on this. Because it does sound like cannibalism, kind of, sort of, right? What have we just done before I got up here and started standing around talking to you? We've taken communion. We've taken the bread, which signifies the body of the Almighty God. Body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take that and we eat that to signify His body. And we take the juice that signifies the blood that He shed on that cross. And we drink that. Signifies His death till He comes again. That's what it says. So to take His body and to drink His blood, we're doing communion. That's what we're doing. I'm trying to tell them this. They're not picking up on this at all. And let's go down to verse 60 because we're going to run out of time. I got a question for you guys. When His disciples heard this, many of them said, "This is hard. This is offensive. This is offensive. Who can hear it?" Verse 61, Jesus, knowing within Himself that His disciples were complaining and protesting and grumbling about it, He said, is this a stumbling block? An offense to you? Is this a stumbling block? Does this upset and displease and shock and scandalize you? The Amplified says. Verse 62, Jesus has a little thing. He says, what then will be your reaction if you should see the Son of Man ascending to the place where He was before? He says, you know what? If this is hard for you to understand, what's it going to be like if you see Me go, where'd He go? He's gone. Huh? The disciples get to see that, right? We know that after His resurrection, we get to see Him. He descends into heaven. He's gone. Jesus says, if this offends you, what are you going to do when you see Me go away? Verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit whatever. Words that I have been speaking to you are Spirit and life. But still, some of you fail to believe and have faith, for Jesus knew who would betray Him. And He says, this is why I told you that no one can come to Me unless He is granted Him by the Father. Verse 66 is kind of hard. Many of His disciples turned away and didn't follow Him anymore after this. You know of anybody that's turned away from the faith? For a reason that doesn't seem like it's a very good one. Peter has a really good answer here. Jesus asked, He said, what about you 12? What about the 12? What about you guys? What are you guys going to do? You going to leave too? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we learn to believe and trust, the more we have come to know, surely, that You are the Holy One of God, Christ, Son of the living God. Peter had a good answer, didn't he? I have a question for you. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus and the disciples are walking along the road here. And they're talking. And you can imagine there's probably a lot of gossip going around about who Jesus was. Jesus asks the question of the disciples here. Verse 13 says, "Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" He says, "Who do people say? What's the gossip? What's the scuttlebutt?" And they answered, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Yeah, just that's all the gossip going around. This is a question. He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Think about this. This hit me this week, and the more I thought about it, this is kind of important. The Lord Jesus Christ walked in here today. Walked into Open Arms Christian Church today. Sat down beside you. Took you by the hand. Looked you right in the eye. Picture this. Jesus, the Son of the Almighty God, comes here today. Sits down beside you. Takes your hand. Looks in your eye. Says, "Who do you say that I am?" What would be your answer? What would you say to the Son of God? What would you say to the one who died on a cross for your sins? What would you say to the one that was beaten, whipped, mutilated, spit upon? What would you say to the one that hung on a cross for you, for your sins? What would you say? What would be your answer? What would be your answer? I'm going to have you close your eyes and visualize it, but I don't know. I don't know I could do that. What would be your answer if the Lord Jesus Christ asked you today, "Who do you say that I am?" That's a personal decision you have to make. To know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. You could say, "Yeah, he was a prophet. Yeah, he was a religious man. Yeah. What is he to you? What does he mean to you? Is this word that became flesh, this Bible worth getting up in the morning early and reading? Is this word worthy of your time? Is this book capable to change your life?" What would your answer be? Think about it. What would your answer be? I can only imagine. I don't know. I look at that and I know what he is to me. I know what he's done for me. But to be asked point blank that question. I got asked that this week. What does Jesus mean to you? Makes you stop and think, doesn't it? What would be your answer? You guys got an advantage. You get to think about this for a while before somebody answers. I got asked on the spot, point blank. What do you say? He's my Lord and Savior. He's my God. He's my everything. He's my all in all. He's everything to me. What would your answer be? You got time to think about it. A few minutes. Got another heartbeat to think about it. Yeah. That's the question I'm going to ask you this morning. What does Jesus mean to you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, I just praise you for showing up this morning. I thank you for being in our midst this morning. Father, and I ask that this question be applied to our hearts and our minds. That what do you, Son of the Almighty God, our Lord and Savior, our High Priest, our Intercessor, the Throne of God, what does he mean to us? Individually, personally, as God. Well, let us think about that question this week. And just form an answer that probably we could just look in your eyes and know that the answer we give would be honest and true. And you know it is. Father, I thank you this morning for this time that we can look at your word, that you are the bread of life. You are our strength. You are our sustenance. You are all in all. You are God. Father, we love you. We praise you. Father, in your precious name we pray. As the praise band comes forward, elders come forward, I'm going to offer time this morning, an invitation, a call to invitation. You're invited to come forward. accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're invited to come forward.